Well, let's open in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. The Christmas story is such a wonderful collection of individuals that God chose to use. And we have been looking progressively at the various pairs of characters. They all are in pairs, you know. There are Zacharias and Elizabeth, Simeon and Anna, the wise men and the shepherds. And then this morning, one of the key sets of characters, Joseph and Mary. But each of them have something in common. They're all imperfect. They're all struggling. They're all needing correction here and there, failing in various ways here and there. But all of them have a common denominator. And that is that each of them had come to the place where they had surrendered to God. And surrender to God is when we say to the Lord that you can have all of us. Now, look at chapter 1 of Matthew, because I just want to point out one little part in verse 18 and then in verse 21. It says at the end of 18 that she, that's Mary, the very last phrase, was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 21, that you shall bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, the one that was of the Holy Spirit was Jesus. Here is his purpose, to save his people from their sin. Now, the greatest news of Christmas is salvation, and as has been repeated through the songs and through the wonderful conclusion to our drama and through all the comments made. But look at verse 23, what that Christmas salvation offers us. The virgin, verse 23, will be with child. That's the one conceived of the Holy Spirit named Jesus, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now think about Joseph and Mary. They had God with them. God gave himself to this world, and they had all of him. They didn't just have part of him. They had all of him. When God gave us salvation, he gave us all of himself. He came in human flesh, all of him. He was in one place. He was an infant. He was God in human flesh. And Joseph and Mary had all of God when they held baby Jesus, God the Son. The question their lives ask us, if God gave all of himself to us, the question we need to answer is, does God have all of me? That's really the lesson from each of these characters. Because the only thing you can find in common between Joseph and Mary and Simeon and Anna and Zacharias and Elizabeth and the shepherds and the wise men is, the only thing in common, they were in every kind of economic and social strata that there could be. There were such divergences between them. But the one thing in common with all of them is, God had all of them. They who had all of God, who had received him by faith, had reciprocated in surrender. And they had given themselves back to God. Let me just briefly trace with you Joseph and Mary. And I want to show you what a person looks like that God has all of them. They're imperfect. They make mistakes. Jesus had to pull Mary up short on at least one occasion, maybe twice, and correct her. She was not perfect. She was not sinless. Nobody in the Bible is sinless other than the sinless one. But these imperfect and sometimes failing cast members have this common thread. All of them had decided God got to get them in surrender back, and God had all of them. Let's study their lives, because let's look through the lens of Scripture at the two young people that God chose to use, Joseph and Mary. God was able to use them greatly because they gave him the control of their lives. In fact, early this morning, as the children were, you know, wanting to come down and everything, and Bonnie heard us talking, she says, why don't you guys have your little quiet time? And I said to them, I said, I was listening to the speaker last night, and he said, one of the first things that you should do on Christmas morning, and they said, yeah, get alone and give yourself to God. I said, well, why don't we do that? And it was so sweet to just begin this day saying, Jesus, Lord and Master, I what? Give myself to you. That's the greatest part of this whole Christmas celebration. And this couple had done that. They were showing us what God can do with a young person that God has all of their heart. The simple fact of their lives is that they were surrendered, and God does great things with them. At the instant of salvation, when we were forgiven instantly by the gracious work of Christ, each of us received all of God. He moved in. At that instant of our salvation, at the moment that we trusted Christ, at the moment we cried out in repentant, humble, simple faith, clinging to Christ, with whatever words, in whatever place, in whatever event that occurred, that transaction produced in us all of God. He moved in. We didn't receive the Spirit by measure, we got all of Him. But the rest of our life is living out the answer to God asking us, I gave myself, all of me for you. What are you going to give back? And the rest of our life is whether or not God gets all of us back. That surrender is what's most important. The one who saves us is God with us. We have all of God in the person of Christ who dwells in us. Then comes the greatest question each of us need to answer this morning. Does God have all of me? And so 2,000 years ago, God spoke to a young teenaged couple. Do you think of them as teenagers? Do you think how big and momentous the event of Christ coming into the world and it was entrusted to these young people? In fact, I was reading again the Jewish encyclopedias. These two, engaged for marriage since their childhood by their parents, were by all available data from the historic period, Mary was somewhere between 14 and 16 years of age. Whew. That is a lot of Bible knowledge and a lot of great praying and a lot of great responding for someone between the ages of 14 and 16. In our culture, we often say that that's the time that you kind of write them off and let them do all these crazy things. Mary was different. Not because of anything other than God had all of her. And I'm sure there were a lot of kids in her generation that were crazy and doing things they would regret deeply the rest of their life. But not her, because God had all of her. Joseph also was young. By all available data, he was between 18 and 20, also a teenager. Their lives up to this historic moment of Christ's birth had been exemplary. In fact, they were chosen by God because He knew He could count on them. How did He know that? Because He knew they had surrendered their lives back to Him. They were imperfect, but they had one driving passion, that God have all of them. And the eyes of the Lord still run to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are surrendered back and given to Him. God looks for those who will give themselves back to Him so He can use them. And God used this couple. And at this young age, though imperfect, they had chosen to respond properly to the authority around them from their hearts. They were obedient. They were law-abiding. They were servants. In fact, look at verse 19 in chapter 1. It's interesting how Joseph's described, and we're going to look at his life. I don't know how far we'll get into Mary's life this morning. But Joseph, in verse 19 of chapter 1, is described as a just man. He was just. When God looked at him, He distilled down his estimation from his perspective of weighing his actions, his thoughts, his motivations. God said, this is a just man. Wow. Would that one word fit? If God just did a snapshot of each of our lives this morning, would He say, you and I are just? That we behave righteously? He was a righteous young man of conviction. He had chosen the pathway Joseph had of holding to his biblical convictions and practicing self-denial. God knew that he was a young man that would honor his word, that wouldn't sneak off and do things when no one was looking or when no one could stop him, that would fulfill his own desires. God knew he could trust Joseph with Mary and that Joseph wouldn't touch her. That he wouldn't have any sexual involvement with her because such a special event was going on. Are there any teenagers nowadays like that left? Sometimes we wonder if you listen to the news and watch the statistics. Does God have any Josephs around here, young men, who are so just that God can count on them? That even though they're in those crazy teenage years, that they refuse to dishonor Him. Even for a moment, even because they want it so badly, they say, no, thou God seest me, and I want to be righteous in your sight. Well, Mary, was the same. She was a woman of the Word. She had lived her faith. She considered herself God's bondservant. In fact, when Mary gets to talk, do you know what her first big statement about herself is? She says, "I am the Lord's bondslave." She sure didn't have a high view of herself. She had a high view of God. He was worth serving. Joseph had a high view of God. He was worth denying himself for and being just in his sight. Well, let's look at Joseph. He's such a powerful lesson to all of us who look closely into his life. Joseph was willing to be obedient, willing to have an obscure life. We don't know anything about him other than two little chapters of the Bible. And then he's alluded to in another chapter. That's it. That's it. And he had such a pivotal role. He had to take care of Mary. He had to guard Mary. He had to get her to all the right places at the right time. He had to spirit her off to keep her from her son being assassinated by a maniacal king. This man was a pivotal character in this whole drama. And God knew he could count on him. And the reason he knew he could count on him was he was one who really wanted God to reign in his life. Let me take you through just some of his good decisions before we read the text. Starting in verse 18, look at what it says in verse 18. This is the one betrothed, and all of a sudden, before they came together, before he had any physical involvement with her at all, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what you can see out of this passage? Joseph went to God with his problem. Do you know how I know he went to God with his problem of his wife-to-be becoming expectant? And all that was going through his mind, wondering how that happened, because God comes back to him with what he's supposed to do. You see, Joseph had surrendered himself to God, and when he sees this problem of Mary expectant without his involvement, he went right to the Lord and said, "Ooh, what am I supposed to do now? I thought I was your servant." So the first thing about him in verse 18, he sought the Lord with his problems. Look at continuing on. He listened to the Lord for his guidance. If you look at that, the Lord speaks to him and he listens. He went to the Lord and said, "I got a problem." So the Lord responded to him, told him what to do, and he listened. Isn't that amazing to have a teenager who listens to guidance? You see how what a person looks like, that God has all of them. When they have a problem, they take it to the Lord. They don't take it out on other people. They take it to the Lord. That's what a godly young person looks like, that God has all of their heart. And when they take it to the Lord, they wait and say, "What guidance would you like to give me about this?" Sounds so mature, doesn't it? Sounds so biblical. That's what Joseph was. He was a biblical and mature, struggling, first century sinner, saved by God's grace. Well, the third thing we see, and we're going to read through this, verse 24 tells us, he obeyed the Lord with his actions. When he sought the Lord with his problems and listened to the Lord for God's guidance, he obeyed the guidance God gave him. And by his actions, we're going to see this morning, he honored the Lord. He just obeyed. And obedience is the very best way to show that I believe. Action is the key. Do it immediately. And God told him what to do, and he did it. And he obeyed the Lord by his actions. At the end of verse 25, he honored the Lord by his obedience. Because he obeyed the Lord with the action that God asked him to do, he got the privilege of honoring the Lord by what he did. And he gets to be the one that names Jesus. Every time you pray, every time that you sing that name, think about the first time that it was uttered in public ever. It was by Joseph at Christ's circumcision, when he got to name his son. And although it wasn't his son, but God's son, he got to stand in for God. Isn't that great? This teenager got to stand in for God. And you know what you and I do too? We get to stand as his witnesses. We get to represent him. And who does God choose to represent him? Those he has all of them. If you want to represent God and stand in for God and be used by God, let him have all of you. And be like Joseph and Mary were. Well, continuing, if you look in chapter 2, verse 13 to 18, he waited on the Lord for God's leading. That's another mark of maturity. In verse 19 of chapter 2, he followed the Lord's directions for his family. See, God knew that not just would he follow through at the beginning, he knew he would keep following through. And he follows through for a long time. Joseph had a consistency in his life that was born from this surrender that he had offered of himself to God, like we should be doing, especially on this day that we give ourselves back to the Lord as His Christmas present. And you can just give yourself back for a day or a month or a year or forever and just keep renewing that. And that's what Joseph did. And he had a long pattern all the way into chapter 2 of following the Lord's directions for his family. And finally, at the end of chapter 2, in chapter 2, 22 and 23, Joseph led his family in the ways of the Lord. And what's amazing is we find in Luke that Joseph specifically did what the Bible said he was supposed to do. He took little baby Jesus to the feast 3 times a year, just like the Bible said he was supposed to do. He brought Jesus to the temple. That's how Simeon and Anna found Jesus. Just like the Bible said he was supposed to do. You see, God could count on him to know the plan. Joseph knew the plan. He had steeped himself as a teenager in the book. He had listened in the synagogue. He had spent time meditating on that. And he knew what God expected from him as a young man. What God expected of him as a husband. What God expected from him as a father. And he offered himself back to God and said, what you expect, I'm going to do. I might make mistakes, might be imperfect here and there. I might not fully be everything, but I want you to know you have all of me. And that's what God is looking for. Well, how can we apply the story of Joseph and Mary to our lives this morning? As we go through these verses, by saying the same thing they said to God, by saying, God, you can have all of me. At salvation, I got all of you. I reciprocate. I yield all of me back to you. Let's read chapter 1, starting in verse 18 and down through the end of this chapter. And let's stand together for the reading of God's word and for prayer. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. And you, Joseph, standing in for Almighty God, you get to call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. By the way, that's the first mention of the gospel in the New Testament. Did you catch that? First time the gospel is mentioned, in, at least in the order we have the books, is in Matthew 1, verse 21. And the gospel is Jesus saving people from their sins. Wow. Wow. What a center of the Christmas message. Verse 22. So all this was done so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What a passage. What a servant. Let's bow before him in prayer. Father, we love you. We are your servants. Joseph was your servant, and you honored him. We bow before you, O Lord, and say on this Christmas day, we want you to have all of us. If there are some young people here this morning, I pray that in an unusual way they would listen. And that they would be stirred in their hearts, not to surrender to the cultural phenomenon of the teenage years of rebellion and disrespect and a basic disregard of authority in every realm. and that rather young people here this morning would say, I want to be like Joseph. I want to be just. I want to be like Mary. I want to be your bond slave, bound by love to obey with all my heart you, O God. Teach us what it means for you to have all of us. Help us to understand the wonder that we have all of you. And may we go out of here on this day wanting to live like those who acknowledge that you have all of us. Like Joseph, like Mary, let us live that way. In the name of Jesus, we ask for these things. Amen. You may be seated. As you're seated, just quickly, let me go through that list. Point out a few things. In verse 18, Joseph sought the Lord with his problems. Can you imagine how painful it was in Joseph's life to find out Mary was with child? Everything since his birth had revolved around his family name, his future marriage to carry on the family name within the clan. Unlike our culture, where everybody kind of just lives wherever they want and they pick their house and they go off on their job. People then had tribal allotments, tribal land, tribal names, clans within the tribe. And you basically stayed close to home. And you lived around your aunts and uncles and your grandparents and your great aunts and your great uncles and your cousins. And you grew up together. And you grew up on the same plot of land that generations had lived in. And you were to carry on the family name. And so the parents decided long before your birth with someone else within that clan who you would marry so that you would be able to live in the same place and carry on the family name. Everything revolved around that. Long before you were even conscious of it, it was all starting to roll along. And it had rolled along. And Joseph had gotten in step with what his parents wanted, with what his custom of his people, with what the Word of God said. And he was walking in step with that and doing what he was supposed to do and praying and preparing and getting everything set for this one that was going to be the rest of his life. This woman. And then he found out that she was with child. His future marriage, the children he would have to continue his tribal identity within Israel, and all of the rest of his life in one moment was in a complete uproar. I mean, we have no idea. You lose your job here, you look for another job somewhere else. You lose it somewhere else, you look for it somewhere else. You lose your house here, you find a house somewhere else. It's just the way life is in America. Not like that over there. He didn't have anywhere to go. He was in an uproar. Everything was turned on end in his life. Can you, I mean, just the Bible just says, verse 20, but while he thought about these things, boy, that is a mild statement. He was in turmoil. He was in agony. He was hurt. He was betrayed. He was crushed. He was disillusioned. He was ready to quit it all. Everything that was important in his life and the life of his entire extended family, everything that was lasting in his community, everything about his future, everything in one moment crashed down. And he was thinking about that. And as he had been taught all of his life, as Bob so eloquently pointed out in the verse that was on the screen a few moments ago, he poured out his heart. He cried out to God. And God, who knew the situation, responds. Are you ready to start growing spiritually? Then it's time to take that first step and seek the Lord's help when you have trouble and problems. We seek everything else. We solve it ourselves. We work it through in our mind. We make plans. We make an action plan. And the person who can solve it, we often leave out of the problem-solving time. Not this man. When God has all of you, like Joseph, you will seek God with your problems. Seek God when things aren't the way you think they should be, when they don't turn out right, when they fall apart. When God has all of you, like Joseph, you seek God when there are problems. The wording of this account in Matthew, just look at this, how you talk about confusing. To us who live in Western culture, start in verse 18. It all sounds confusing. Matthew 1 records that Joseph is betrothed. See how it says that in verse 18? To Joseph, betrothed to Mary. Then in verse 19, he's planning to divorce her. And we go, betrothed, divorce, okay? Then you keep reading, and it says in verse, just a few more words, she is called his wife in verse 20. He hasn't even married her yet. He's thinking of divorcing someone he hasn't even married, and in our minds, it just kind of all runs together. But the relationship represents a normal Jewish marriage procedure, which had three steps: an engagement, and then the betrothal, and then the marriage proper. And Joseph was just in step. But look at verse 19. Here's another mark of someone who God has all of them. Not only was Joseph seeking God with his problems, but he had one of the attributes that comes of God being in our life. He was compassionate. Look at verse 19. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away secretly, privately. Now there is compassion. Why? Because in that day, the penalty for adultery, for Mary being with someone else while she was betrothed to Joseph, the penalty for that, well, if it was fully carried out, would have been stoning, death. If they weren't doing that in that particular moment of that time, it would have been total ostracization and being thrown, ostracized from the community and the family, and just totally humiliated and ruined for the rest of her life. And Joseph knew that. And Joseph was compassionate. And that's what someone's like, that God has all of them. And look at verse 20. He listened to God. He was sensitive to God. But while he thought about these things, and it just, the words there mean he was just turned up. I mean, he was swirling in his mind. He thought, oh, she's destroyed my life, but I don't want to destroy her life. But I've got to get rid of her. But I've got to get rid of her very quietly and secretly so that I don't ruin her any more than she has to be ruined. And while he was thinking about that, in his heart, he was just saying, God, what are you doing? What do you want me to do? And listen to verse 20. While he thought about these things, behold, an angelos, a messenger, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And look what God saw. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. You know what usually happens when our boat gets rocked, when our world gets turned? We get afraid. Like, it's out of control. Everything's ruined. And it'll never be the same. God says, don't be afraid. I'm taking you from merely being a nameless carpenter in some Galilean town that no one, that you would go back to dust and no one would ever know you. You aren't even going to be in any genealogical records because in a few years Herod's going to destroy all those records anyway. And so, you know what? I'm going to rescue you from obscurity. And I'm going to put you down forever in my word as the one who first utters on earth the name of Jesus. And you are going to be the one who's going to be my chosen servant. So don't be afraid. I have bigger plans than you know about. Don't be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph heard the voice of God. He went to God with his problems, and God responded. Where do we hear the voice of God? This is the Word of God. This is God speaking to us. Now, you didn't think we'd get this close to a new year without me again saying, I hope you're making plans to listen to God this year. I hope that, like we talked about last night, you will sacrifice your time and your comfort and your own plans and factor in a lot of God's voice being in your life. Do you know what? Joseph listened to God. You and I can listen to God. You and I can, every time we have a problem, we can come before this book. Every time we have a question, we can come. Every time we have a fear, we can come before God and say, speak to me. We know that God had all of Joseph because Joseph listened to the Lord for his guidance and he was sensitive. Right here in this book, God wants to talk to you and me every time we'll slow down and pull off the highway of life, raise our antenna, and let him speak. Joseph was a young person, but he listened to God. You know, a lot of young people do a lot of listening, but a lot of their listening helps them not to hear God. They listen to things that make them think about ungodly things, to get agitated and worked up in things that cause them not to be able to hear the still, small voice of God. You know, a week from tomorrow, I get to speak at a big college retreat. And they asked me to speak, and they said, would you speak, the leaders of the college ministry said, would you speak to our cream of the crop Christian young people on this retreat? This is their annual retreat, and we want you to speak to them about how their media, their music, and their movies are destroying their ability to hear God's voice. I thought, those are very, very precocious, very perceptive leaders of that ministry, because the media and the music and the movies are destroying young people's ability to hear God's voice, because God says, you'll only hear when you are still before me. Did you know most young people don't even like it to be quiet? They like to have noise all the time, sound all the time. That's why every place young people work is just blaring. You know, it just has to be loud. They just feel something's wrong if it's quiet. Joseph, a young person, had learned the secret of being still before God. You can read this all you want, but if your heart never stills, if you never are quiet before Him, you'll never hear His still small voice. And He wants to speak with us. Because look what happens in verse 24. Joseph obeyed the Lord. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Joseph obeyed the Lord with his actions. He did what God said. He knew what God wanted him to do. And there's nothing more thrilling in life than to know what God wants you to do and to do it. It's just wonderful. And look at verse 25. It says, then he did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son. He honored the Lord by his obedience. Now, he went through the process. He ended up getting married to her. I mean, he took her as his wife. He went through the whole legitimate ceremony. And there was a big public affirmation. That is your wife. She is 100% yours. You can fulfill every obligation and privilege you have of marriage. And you know what Joseph did? He didn't. What he did was, he had a higher calling and he obeyed God. God says, for my plan to work, you have to have no contact with her. Can you imagine when they abandoned him alone in that tent at the huge wedding feast that went on in the hometown of Joseph and Mary as he was finally married to her, and the bridal party brought them up and pushed him in the tent and closed the tent door, and everyone kind of was giggling and everything and said, there you go, Joseph, what you've always been waiting for, there's your wife. Can you imagine Joseph looking at her and saying, yeah, the angel talked to you too, didn't he? She said, yeah, the Lord did actually. And she said, yeah. And he says, well, this is going to be wonderful. I mean, have you ever thought about what incredible discipline Joseph had? He proved it's possible to wait, to say no to sin, to not fulfill a legitimate desire in an illegitimate way. What an example of young people. Well, continue. Let's go to chapter 2, because I want to finish Joseph, and we want to go before your ham burns in the oven, okay? Matthew 2:13, Joseph waited on the Lord for his leading. We're fast forwarding in the story. When they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. You know what? Every time there is a juncture in Joseph's life, he waits and God tells him what to do. And he listens to what God says and he does it. And so first juncture was his whole life fell apart because Mary was expectant and he wasn't involved. And so what did he do? He waited and God told him what to do and he did it. Now he's got this king breathing down his neck, trying to kill this boy, and he waits on the Lord, and an angel of the Lord tells him what to do. In fact, the same thing happens in verse 19 again, and verse 22 again. Joseph keeps listening to God all the way through life. Something wonderful about that. Joseph followed the Lord for his leading. Joseph was one who says, I give myself to you. Lead me. Show me your plan. We've got it all. He had to wait for angels to talk to him. We've got the whole plan. We have everything we need for life and godliness. And it's right here. How important is life and godliness from God's perspective to you? You reflect it by how much you listen to Him. Joseph listened. And Joseph followed the Lord's directions from verses 19 to 23. He followed God's word for what he wanted him to do. And if you make it into Luke, he exactly follows the Lord's directions for how to raise little baby Jesus. And he follows the Lord's directions for how to have a family seeking God. And Joseph fades out of the picture as a wonderful example to us of what God can do with someone that God has all of them. Now, your question for Christmas is, if you're saved this morning, God is with us. We have all of Him. Now, the question we need to answer in our own hearts is, does God have all of you? Let's bow before Him this morning. And as we bow, let's tell Him again that He can have all of us. Father in heaven, I pray, on this Christmas morning, we love You so much. We worship Your Son. Thank You for sending Him. Thank You that we have all of You. And if we're saved, You dwell in us. And we have the fullness of You, O God, dwelling within us. We are never alone. You are with us always, even to the end. You give us everything we need for life and godliness. You are taking care of us and will secure us until You take us home and we dwell in Your house forever. But what You're going to examine us for when we get there is how much of us did we give back to You. And I pray this morning that there would be no one in this room that hasn't consciously stopped and offered themselves back to You. Right now in the quietness, this moment might be your only quiet moment of the day. Quietly whisper to Jesus in your heart, Jesus, Lord, Master, I give myself to You. I want to think Your thoughts. I want to look at things that please You. I want to do things that count for eternity, that don't grieve and quench You. I want to be Your servant. Lord, hear our prayers and let us serve You on Your day and every day until You come or call. That's the prayer of our heart. In the name of Jesus we pray. And if you believe that, say amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Have a great day in the Lord.